on that domain. Through the grace of God, we will study tonight the letter of St. Paul to his disciple Philemon. This letter is a very short letter. It is only one chapter, but actually it is full of many good teaching, especially in relationship, in forgiveness, in reconciliation. Let me start first by giving you background about this letter. The author of this letter is St. Paul, as it is clear from verses number 1, number 9, and number 19. It's only one chapter. And it is clear that this letter was written in Rome while St. Paul was in his first imprisonment, and it was written in the same time in which he wrote the letter to Colossians. At least there are five reasons make us believe that this letter to Philemon was written in the same time in which St. Paul wrote his letter to Colossians. Number one, St. Paul in these two letters wrote that he is in chains, he is in prison. Number two, Timothy joined St. Paul in salutation and greeting in both epistles. Number three, Onesimus, who was the subject of this epistle, I will tell you his story, also was one of the messengers by which the epistle to Colossians was sent, as it is clear from Colossians chapter 4, from verse 7 to 9. Number four, Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke joined in the salutation of both letters, which means St. Paul wrote the two letters at the same time and was accompanied with the same group. And finally, Titus, to whom this epistle is also directed, is also addressed in the epistle to Colossians, as we read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. So, for these five reasons, we believe that these two letters were written at the same time, also from the same place, which is Rome, while St. Paul was in his first imprisonment. And if this letter was written during the first imprisonment of St. Paul, this means that the time of writing will be between 61 to 63 AD. Between 61 to 63 AD. Why St. Paul wrote this letter? Philemon was a member in the church of Colossae. And St. John Chrysostom mentioned that Aletheia, that was also mentioned in this letter, was his wife, and Archippus was his son. And Philemon, with his family, used to host the Christian in their house. They used the house of Philemon as a church. And Philemon had a slave. This slave, his name was Onesimus. And the word Onesimus means profitable. The word Onesimus means profitable. Onesimus, apparently, he ran away from his master. And he went to Rome. And while he was in Rome, he met with St. Paul. And St. Paul preached Christ to him. Onesimus believed in Christ and was baptized and became Christian. And this happened while St. Paul was in his imprisonment. And because St. Paul respected the authority and respect the civil law, and according to the civil law, Onesimus should return back to Philemon. So St. Paul wrote a letter to Philemon to tell him, number one, to forgive Onesimus. Number two, to tell him to accept Onesimus now, not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a brother in Christ. Because Onesimus now became Christian and he repented and his life is transformed. Number three, as a father to both Philemon and Onesimus, he told Philemon, if there is any debt or charges, I will pay by myself. And here, St. Paul demonstrated how a father makes peace between his children, how a father and a pastor reconcile his children together based on the foundation of love. St. Paul in this letter did not use his authority to make the reconciliation, but as we will study together, he spoke based on the foundation of love, the bond of love that binds all of us. So we can write, we can say that the purpose of this letter, number one, primarily to secure forgiveness for Onesimus. But there is another reason which St. Paul mentioned at the end of this chapter. St. Paul asked Philemon to prepare for himself a place of lodging after St. Paul will be released from his imprisonment. As I told you, this letter, although it's a very short one, but it has a lot of good teaching about social relationship and how Christians should deal with one another. Let us start studying this letter verse by verse. Actually, the first three verses from this chapter is the salutation. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Epaphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. St. Paul, in many epistles, he used to address himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But in this letter, he did not use the word apostle, but he used the word a prisoner, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Why? Number one, he feels proud to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chains are source of his glory. He is not ashamed to be in prison for the sake of the Lord. Another reason, he is not speaking using his authority. So he will not give an order to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, but rather he will appeal to him. That's why he said, Paul, a prisoner, I'm not speaking to you as the apostle with the authority, but I'm speaking to you as a prisoner. And also, he wants Philemon to have compassion in his heart toward Onesimus. As if St. Paul is telling Philemon, I lost my freedom for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to lose and forgive your brother, to forgive Onesimus who ran away from you, or not? That's why he used the word prisoner, not the word an apostle. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. All of us know that Timothy is a spiritual son to St. Paul. But see how St. Paul, in his humbleness, addressed Timothy as brother. And this is the spirit of humbleness that should adorn the servants of Christ. We consider our children as brethren, and our brethren as fathers to us. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Beloved friend, so St. Paul can appeal to him based on this bond, the bond of love and friendship. Although, as I told you, Philemon is considered a spiritual son again to St. Paul, but St. Paul here addressed him as beloved friend. And a fellow laborer, so he is telling him, if you are a fellow laborer with us, then you should demonstrate Christian behavior. Then, when you forgive Onesimus, this will reflect how you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a fellow laborer with us. To the beloved Apipheia, and as I told you, Apipheia is Philemon's wife, and Archippus is the son of Philemon, and St. Paul described him here, our fellow soldier, because as a young youth, he is committed, he is dedicated, and he's taking his call very seriously. That's why he described him our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house, because as I told you, they used to host the church in the house of Philemon. And later on, by the way, Philemon became the bishop of Colossae, because Philemon was a member of the church of Colossae, and later on, Philemon became the bishop of Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul, usually in his salutation, used these two words, grace and peace. And these two gifts, all of us need always in our life. We need these two gifts, the gift of grace and the gift of peace. Because without the grace of God, we cannot achieve anything. In order to be successful, And to be prosperous in your life, you need the grace of God in your life. Also, in order to survive all the turmoil of the world, in order to withstand all the storms of the world, you need to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That's why when we pray for one another, let us pray that the grace and peace of God dwell in our heart. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then from verse 4 to verse 7, in these four verses, St. Paul actually made thanksgiving and also a prayer. Thanksgiving and prayer. He said in verse 4, I thank my God. And I like how St. Paul said the word my God. It is a personal relationship. He feels that the God and the Lord of Lords, he is like a personal father to him. And here we need to develop this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. It is the responsibility of the spiritual father to pray for his children all the time. That's why he says, I am making mention of you always in my prayer. Samuel, who was a priest, he said, far be it from me to sin against God and to stop praying for you. So Samuel understood that if the spiritual father ceased to pray for his spiritual children, this is considered a sin. Far be it from me to sin against God and to cease to pray for you. St. Paul did not make an excuse that he was in chains. And he said, I'm chained, I need prayer. So don't expect me to pray for you. But while he was in chains in prison, he was praying for his spiritual children, he was praying for Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Philemon was a very loving person and a very generous person. Because of his faith in Christ, this faith developed in his heart the love. And this love was demonstrated to God and also was demonstrated to all the saints, to all the believers. Saints here means believers. And as I told you, he hosted the believers in his house. It became the church. And when St. Paul heard about the love and faith of Philemon toward God and toward also the believers, he became joyful. We make the heart of our spiritual fathers joyful when we love one another, when we live in peace with one another, when we help one another. That's why St. Paul, because of this joy, he was giving thanks to God. Because God planted the fruit of love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, fruit of love in the heart of Philemon. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. St. Paul is saying that I am praying that the sharing of your faith, the sharing of your faith means whether by preaching Christ to others, so you share your faith with others, or by demonstrating your Christian behavior before others. So when others see your good works, they glorify your Father in heaven. St. Paul is telling him, I am praying that sharing of your faith become effective. And St. Paul is hinting here to what he's going to say about forgiving Onesimus. So he's telling him, when the people saw, when the people see how you will forgive your slave, and how you will accept him not as a slave anymore, but as a beloved brother in Christ, then your faith here is effective. The sharing of your faith is effective. How? Because the people will follow your example. The people will forgive one another, and the people will reconcile with one another. They will live in peace with one another. So he told him that the sharing of your faith may become effective, may become fruitful, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. When the people acknowledge the good works in you, when the people acknowledge the virtue of forgiveness and the virtue of reconciliation in you. But why do you have these good things in you? It's because of Christ Jesus. That's why he told him that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus is the source of every good gift and good thing in our heart. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love. As I told you, the spiritual father will have a great joy and consolation in his heart when he sees his children love one another and living in peace with one another. So St. Paul, in his chains, in his imprisonment, was comforted and joyful when he heard the news about the love of Philemon. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. The hearts of the saints, the heart of the believers, became refreshed because they enjoyed your love toward them. They enjoyed your forgiveness. They enjoyed your generosity. They enjoyed making peace among them. That's what refreshed the hearts of the believers. Then from verse 8, St. Paul starts to address the main reason of this letter, the issue of Onesimus. Verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. St. Paul here is referring to his authority as an apostle in the Lord Jesus Christ and as a spiritual father to Philemon. He said, I have every right to command you and to order you to do what is right, to do what is fitting, but I'm not going to use this authority. Why? Because if he used this authority and just Philemon obeyed, then this forgiveness will be based as if by compulsion, not voluntarily. But St. Paul wants Philemon to make this decision by his own free will. So God actually will reward him because he chose to forgive Onesimus. Not he was ordered or commanded to forgive Onesimus. That's why St. Paul refused to use the authority. though I might be very bold in Christ, this authority came from my position in the Lord Jesus Christ to command you what is fitting. Yet, for love's sake, that's number one, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, that's number two, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So Saint Paul is telling him, although I have every right to command you, but I will not command you, I will appeal to you. Well, number one, because for the sake of love. Number two, because now I'm a prisoner. And I want to know, I want you to know that I lost my freedom for the sake of Christ. What are you willing to lose for the sake of Christ? You are a fellow laborer with us. And number three, the word aged here actually can be St. Paul appealing to his age as an old person. So he is like asking, moving the heart of Limon's compassion. But other commentators said the Greek word here means referring to his priesthood. The word aged here doesn't mean, you know, he is his age as an old man, but the word age here referred to his priesthood. So he's saying, for the sake of love, for the sake of my priesthood, for the sake of my imprisonment, I'm appealing to you, I am asking you. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave, but St. Paul addressed him as a son, because St. Paul preached Christ to him. So he's saying to Philemon, Onesimus is my son, and you are also my son, so Onesimus is your brother, is not a slave anymore. And here just I want to mention, are we willing sometimes to put aside our authority and to deal with one another based on love? Many times, husband and wife, the husband appealed to his authority, forgetting that the authority was given to him to protect, not to order and to give commandments. St. Paul here, although he will command what's fitting, what's right, but he did not use his authority, but he dealt with Philemon based on love. The law of love is more powerful than the law of authority. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. I have begotten in Christ. I baptized him while I was in prison, while I was in chains. He converted to Christianity and believed while I am in my prison. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. And here, as I told you, St. Paul, the word Onesimus means profitable. So St. Paul is saying, although his name means profitable, but before he was unprofitable for you. Actually, he ran away from you. But now, after he is transformed and converted and baptized, Onesimus is profitable not only for me, but also for you. And I'm appealing to you right now, based on love, based on my age or my priesthood, based on my chains, and also based on the transformation that happened in the person of Insidious. I'm not asking you to accept him as he was before, but now he is a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm appealing that you may accept him. Verse 12. I am sending him back because the civil law says that the slave should be with his master. So it was illegal for St. Paul to keep Onesimus with him. And if St. Paul kept Onesimus with him, then Philemon will not have any choice in this decision. That's why he told him, to respect the law, I'm sending him back to you. And also, if you want to release him and send him back to me, this will be your choice, your decision. You are not compelled to do this. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. And here St. Paul is describing Onesimus as his own heart. See the love, the compassion that St. Paul had for his spiritual children. This is a very powerful description. My own heart. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. Whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. St. Paul is telling him, I want to keep Onesimus with me, to minister to me on your behalf. So St. Paul is saying, as much as you are profitable to me, now Onesimus is profitable to me in the same level. And I want him to help me in ministry while I'm chained in the ministry for the gospel, to preach the gospel of Christ. So this was my desire. I want to keep him with me. I wish to keep him with me that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, wanted to do nothing. I respected you. I respected your choice. I respect your decision. I don't want me to make any decision without your consent and your approval. And here how we should respect the decisions and the choices of one another. Not because we have authority, then we will impose our opinion on others. St. Paul did not use his authority to impose his decision on Philemon. Actually, he put his authority aside, but now he is appealing. Without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. And this is a very important point, that your good work might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Many parents ask, should we force our children to fast? Should we force our children to go to church? Should we force our children to pray? Should we force our children to read the Bible? It's better to appeal to them, to encourage them, to motivate them, to show them the goodness when they pray, when they fast, so that when they do all such activity, it will be voluntary, not by compulsion. And actually, if you force your children, maybe they will obey you until certain age. And when they become like 15 or 17 or 18, they will not obey you. And they will rebel against any control and any compulsion. It's better to use the appeal of love, the encouragement, the motivation. Even when we do good work voluntarily, we will be rewarded by God. But if we do it by compulsion, then there is no goodness here. I have no choice. That's why St. Paul told him that your good deed might not be by compulsion as it were, but voluntarily. And this principle was always in the mind of St. Paul. In his letter to Corinthians, when he spoke about tithing and giving, he told him that your giving will not be out of compulsion, but voluntarily. So again, sometimes we feel we are compelled to give or donate. Sometimes we embarrass the person in order to make him donate. But this is not the right way. That's why St. Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. When you give from your money, from your time, from your effort, this should be by your own free will, your choice. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. St. Paul said, perhaps Onesimus departed for a while for this purpose. Number one, he used the word departed, not the word run away. And here, how St. Paul perceived running away, he just departed. Definitely running away was not right. So St. Paul does not justify running away. But St. Paul said, God always makes everything work together for good. So, although running away is not good and is not right, but God, the source of all goodness, used this as an opportunity for Onesimus to meet with St. Paul and to hear about Christ and to accept him and to be baptized and to convert to Christianity. So, St. Paul is telling Philemon, don't be upset, don't be disappointed, because God used this departure or this running away as an opportunity to capture the heart of Onesimus and to make him believe in Christ and become Christian. So you shouldn't be grieved. You shouldn't be disappointed. Yes, it is wrong for him to run away from you. But God used this in order to transform him, to convert him to Christianity. And whatever he did wrong, like running away, I'm sending him back to you. So now there is a golden opportunity for you to forgive him. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. What does it mean, receive him forever? Neither Philemon nor Onesimus will live forever. If the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus remained as a master-slave relationship, and then Onesimus died as a non-Christian, then in eternity they will not be together. But now Onesimus became a Christian, and when he returns back to his master Philemon, actually this relationship will not only be on earth, but will be also eternal. When both of them go to heaven together, then they will be together in heaven. That's why he told him, don't be disappointed. He will return to you, not only for the time of your life on earth, but you will receive him forever. You will be together forever. No longer as a master slave, but as both of you members in the same body, the body of Christ. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He told him, now you receive him, not as a slave, but I want you to receive him as a beloved brother. Onesimus is a beloved brother to me, said Paul. He is my heart, he is my son, he is my beloved brother. He should be more to you. Especially, there was some relationship between you and him before. You know him before I know him. That's why he said, both in the flesh, he's referring about how Philemon knew Onesimus before St. Paul knew Onesimus. And now in the Lord. So, if Onesimus to me, my son, my own heart, my beloved brother, now when you receive him, he should be more than this to you. More than this to you. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. And I hear St. Paul didn't tell him, if you count me as your apostle, as your spiritual father. But he told him, if you count me as a partner or fellow laborer together, brothers in the Lord, then how you will accept me? How you will receive me? You need to receive Onesimus in the same way you receive me. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. And here St. Paul is making every effort to make peace between Philemon and Onesimus. And he addressed any concern that might cross the mind of Philemon. So Philemon said, but he owes me something, owes me some money. St. Paul told him, put this on my account. I, Paul, I am writing with my own hand, I will repay. So if you trust me, then I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. St. Paul told Philemon, if Onesimus owes you some money or some monetary things, remember, you owe me your life, because I have begotten you in the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached Christ to you. Money will pass away, because the world will pass away. But you owe me your life, because you knew Christ through me. So if I'm telling you I will repay, see how much you owe me and how much I owe you. I owe you some money, but you owe me my life, your life, your eternal life. So St. Paul here made a very, very smart argument to convince Philemon to forgive Onesimus completely. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. In the beginning of this letter, he told him that the saints, the heart of the saints became refreshed by you. And we have a great joy when we heard about your love. So he's telling him, now there's another opportunity. there is a golden opportunity to make me happy while I am in the prison, to have joy and to refresh my heart while I am in chains. Are you going to make me happy? Are you going to make me joyful? Are you going to refresh my heart? Are you going to use this golden opportunity to refresh my heart or not? Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. And the fact that St. Paul sent on Onesimus, this means he trusted Philemon. He did not send him a letter to test him to see what's his reaction, and then if he agrees to forgive Onesimus, he would send Onesimus. No, St. Paul trusted his spiritual children. He trusted that they will do more than what he asks. And this is actually the true obedience. The true obedience appears in two elements. When we do more than what we ask to do. And number two, when we obey not only in the presence, but also in the absence of the person. In the crowning ceremony, we instruct the wife or the bride to obey her husband more than what she was instructed. So St. Paul is saying the same thing here. I'm expecting you to do more what I'm appealing you to do. Because this is the true obedience. When we do more, and we do it in the absence, more than in the presence of the person himself. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. And see here the relationship. There is love, there is humbleness, there is trust. Trust. Sometimes in our relationship, right, within the family or between church members, when these elements disappear, that's why we have conflict all the time. When love is gone, when humbleness is gone, when trust is gone, then we start having conflict. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also, from verse 22, he spoke about another issue. St. Paul asked Philemon to prepare a guest house for him when he is released from the prison to stay in Greece. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. I shall be granted to you means I will be released from my prison and I will be able to come to you. So, and I trust that this will happen through your prayer. When you support me with your prayer, God will release me from my prison and I will come to you. So he is asking to prepare a guest room for him to stay in. Then he concluded by the final greeting and benediction. He said, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ. Many commentators said that Epaphras chose willingly to join St. Paul in prison to serve him and to be with him. Because this prison in Rome was like house arrest. Was arrested in the house that he rented in Rome for 2 years, the last two verses in the book of Acts. So Epaphras chose to stay with St. Paul. So he's saying, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus greets you. Also, do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Actually, mentioning all these names for two reasons. Number one, they are sending their greeting to Philemon, but the other point, as if all of them appealing to Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And then the final benediction, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Ameen. And as I told you, he started by giving him the grace and peace, and he concluded by giving him the final benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As I told you, it is a very short letter, but has many, many wonderful teaching in social relationship, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, humbleness, trust, have our good works be based on our free will, our choice, not based on compulsion. So this letter, I hope we can apply it in our daily life, in our relationship with one another, and we learn from all these wonderful values in this letter. Glory be to God forever and ever. Do you have any questions?